Hello, welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren. First week of the month, it's October. And as always, we find ourselves with Columbus Mayor Jim Lineup. I was just going to say in Columbus, but today we're not in Columbus. We're actually in Bloomington.
That's right.
First of all, thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
What brings you to Bloomington?
Well, you know, Mayor Hamilton and I have had the opportunity to partner on a couple different initiatives. You're probably familiar with Elevate Ventures, which is a partnership in turn with the state of Indiana to work on entrepreneurship, particularly among small businesses. So we partner there, and we partnered recently with respect to a broadband initiative to bring truly high speed, one gig up, one gig down to our communities. And so Hamilton called me a couple weeks ago, maybe at this point 2 months ago, and said, can we get together and talk about the climate and what our communities might be able to do together to sort of address the issues related to climate change that we both face. And the notion is that, as we found in the other partnerships we've had, we can get a little bit more done together than we can separately or individually. And so, we got together with a few people from our communities, a few folks from the O'Neill School here in Bloomington, and talked a little bit about what municipalities can do with respect to climate change. So, well, it's very early. Got a lot to learn. You know, one of the things that we talked about, or I tried to emphasize to the group, was that municipal government really is pretty lean. I mean, we don't have a lot of excess staff laying around or excess staff time. And so to say that we're going to tackle something as complex as our climate is a bit of a challenge. So, you know, the whole notion would be to try to find things that we can do, maybe some other partners that we can bring to the topic, and just see where it goes. You know, it's never, there's no destination, right? It's a journey. And so we'll just get to work together on that and like I say, see where it goes.
So you mentioned two things there, of course, the climate initiatives will take some time to get going. But you mentioned Meridium, and I know that today in Bloomington, they've began construction for laying fiber. What's the update in Columbus?
Well, I don't have a date for you in terms of when they start, but yet this year, you know, is what we've been told. And of course, in Columbus or in Bartholomew County, it will be in the entire county. We've got some participation or partnership with the county government. You know, because of the lack of density that occurs outside city limits, you know, the county is actually going to put some money into this program in addition to the tax abatement, you know, that they granted to Meridium. So we're excited to see it come to fruition. It will offer a truly world-class, you know, you talk about being wired. I don't know if that's the right phrase today with fiber optic, but yeah, we'll be able to say that we're the most wired or among the most wired communities in the country. We'll truly have world-class speed.
Have there been any announcements of who will be providing that internet
yet? You know, Joe, there have, and I've drawn a blank on the name.
Yeah, I know here, I believe it's Gigabit Now or something like that. I don't know if that's the same throughout the entire network or not.
Well, I don't know. I'd hate to commit.
Be interesting to see that process unroll and how that works. I wanted to get more information on the upgrade of class the city is going through.
Correct.
You call it a second class upgrade.
Yeah.
And I think at first people hear that and think, what's going on? What does this mean? And it's especially interesting on people outside of Columbus.
Yeah.
You're getting to the point now of actually making it happen.
Yes. Yeah, there's a little bit of terminology that gets people confused. We're not second class, because that infers a whole bunch of things that aren't favorable. We're class two. You know, and so we want to try to make sure that people understand that this is really a move up. That in Indiana, there are three classes of cities, and then you have towns and unincorporated areas. But we are presently a class three city, and we propose to move to a class two, or we will move to a class two. The decision's been made. There was an ordinance adopted by the city council a month or so ago to convert to class two. The initial issue that you deal with is one of population. In Indiana, you've got to be a city of 34,000 or more in order to make that switch from three to two. We became eligible with that metric maybe 10 years ago, maybe even a little longer than that. We sort of put it off, thinking that you know, things were working as well as they were, so we didn't really need that. But so we had some council members ask us to take a look at that. earlier this year, and so we did. And you know, among the differences or the changes that will occur is that we will change the city council makeup. We will go from 7 members to 9. There will be 6 districts and 3 at-large seats. And then we will change the way the finances are managed. We will go from a clerk treasurer to a clerk and then a hired controller. And so there will be some changes. Most people won't see a difference. You know, they really won't understand that there's been any real change at all. But part of what we'll deal with next will be a redistricting, because we've got to add the 6th district. We've got 5 right now, and it's, you know, if you think of a map of City of Columbus, you know, with different colors for the different districts, well, we've got to find a 6th color and add that in. And the city council has met and, or at least come up with a proposal. A couple city council members, I should say, have met and come up with a proposal as to how we redraw the district lines and add that 6th district. And so the council needs to meet and approve that. But before we actually meet and approve it, we want to run our resolution by the county clerk and the Indiana Election Commission, if I said that right, to make sure that we have followed all their rules, because this is a once-in-a-lifetime event. I mean, this doesn't happen. I mean, I was part of an effort 10 years ago to rebalance the districts, where you're just sort of moving a few lines on the map and change a few precincts from here to there. And it's, you know, not much to that. But here where we're adding a new district, it's a little bit more involved, and we just want to make sure we get it right, because, you know, there's a whole lot of focus right now on elections and election integrity, and we really haven't got anything. There's nothing more going on than just what I've said, but yet we want to make sure that we've done it in accordance with all the rules and fairly and transparently and so on and so forth. So that'll come up probably on the October 18th meeting. So by the next time we meet, we'll have at least had one vote on that and make one step forward with respect to adding a council district. We'll have to hire a controller, and right now we propose to do that sometime in the fourth quarter of 2023. And then that person will take effect, or that person's role as controller will take effect 1/1/24. So we're moving forward with that, and kind of exciting to see us graduate, so to speak. I mean, the population of Columbus right now is around 50,000. We were the largest Class 3 city in Indiana, and you know, when we looked around and sort of weighed the pluses and minuses, it made a lot of sense to go ahead and move forward.
Yeah. And people will notice when they go vote, right? Because for their city council members, I assume that might shift other people into a different district too?
There will be some shifts. I don't think it's going to be all that great. Columbus does not grow, how would you want to say, it's not a concentric circle that just gets bigger all, you know, in all directions in the same proportion. The Tipton Lakes area, which is out to the west, is where most of the growth is occurring. And so we've had to move District 2, you know, sort of away from downtown and out to the west. District 1 has grown into the downtown area, as has District 3. And so there will be some differences that people will notice when they go vote.
I did come across some more paid parking downtown meetings that happened this past month. What's new there?
Well, not a lot. No. I mean, we continue to talk about, you know, what the correct parking solution should be in the downtown area. You know, right now, all these conversations started pre-pandemic, you know, and pre-pandemic, our downtown was packed. I mean, in terms of people who came downtown to work every day, we don't have quite that much demand for parking right now. We've also got, you know, some parking garages that aren't full. And so just exactly what the solution ought to be, I'm not sure. The whole idea is to try to find a way to encourage turnover among those who do park. You know, we just don't want people parking in a spot and then camping there all day long. But how to get to that, how to get at that is a little bit of the discussion. And so the Downtown Parking Committee is going to have a few more meetings, a few more discussions, and then hopefully they'll come forward with a solution we can implement.
So. We reported on a town hall that dealt with Columbus housing crisis, with skyrocketing national rents, investors buying up properties, but this just isn't a Columbus issue.
Oh, this is nationwide. Yeah. In fact, we're probably a little better positioned, you know, than many other places. But I've noticed, you know, with all due respect to landlords, that you know, some of the least maintained or most poorly maintained properties in town are rentals. And there's a variety of reasons for that, a lot of which is just common sense. But so we do worry a little bit about some of the corporate-owned housing in Columbus, but we've not had any complaints yet, you know, about mismanaged or poorly managed corporate rentals. I anticipate that that'll come about at some point, but we've just not had that yet. What we continue to sort of address is the need for just more housing units. I hate to try to oversimplify things, but I think it's a simple supply and demand issue. We've got demand, which is wonderful, and supply just isn't quite there. Within the last 5 years, we've added about 900 units to the City of Columbus's housing stock. So we're doing what we can, I mean, in terms of trying to attract developers and make it a economically viable place for them to build homes. We've got a couple hundred units that will come on next year in the downtown apartment projects there on 2nd Street. So, you know, the market is responding. It just doesn't seem to be responding soon enough to satisfy a lot of folks.
A statistic?
Yeah.
There, I got it. In that town hall that said a minimum wage worker would have to work 101 hours a week to afford a two-bedroom unit at $950 a month in Columbus.
So I have to wonder where that math came from.
I'm sure there's a lot crammed in there to get to that point. But are there other things that when you talk to other mayors in different cities about this, strategies that move forward? Because there's only so much a city can do to bring more housing, right?
Yeah. Candidly, you know, my belief is that we've got to create a fertile economic climate. You know, there's got to be a reason for people to invest. You know, the city does not have money to go build apartment complexes, and so, and in fact, you know, it would be difficult for us to do that and then compete with those who do this for a living. So what we've got to do is make our community economically attractive for those people who are in that business. And Columbus has done a pretty good job of that. I mean, each year over the last 10 years, our population has grown. So people are finding a way, you know, to find a way to live. And although I realize that sometimes it's a little tight, we find a way to make it work. And so my emphasis is on continuing to grow the economy of Columbus so that there's an attraction for those developers to come in and build residential units.
And one of the initiatives from the people that were at the town hall, they want to do like a database on landlords or want to see how many code violations a renter or a landlord has. Is that something, and they want to approach city council, they want to be on the city council agenda. Is that something they can do?
Well, we'll have to wait to see, you know, just specifically what the request is. I mean, you know, we tend to let people come and talk to the city council. I mean, it's not a town hall, so to speak, but it sort of mimics that. And we'll just have to wait to see what the request is.
Any updates on the conference center?
Well, we continue to have conversations with the developers. We've told them that we want to, you know, move this forward, and hopefully we can get it under, get some kind of a binding agreement yet this year. They've agreed, at least indicated that they're interested in that as well. So we think we're going to be able to move forward, but we're continuing to just have conversations with our developer.
I see some new security equipment looking for City Hall, metal detector.
Right.
Did something precipitate the need for this, or is this something happening more and more?
It's a general reaction, or a reaction to general events. You know, Columbus City Hall is a wide open building. I mean, you've been there several times.
I can walk right into your office.
Exactly.
I can vouch for that. Yeah.
And you know, we have a number of employees to whom that's a little bit unsettling, you know, because from time to time we do get people in the building who are unhappy, you know, for whatever reason. And we just have no way right now to identify those folks and to identify whether or not they might be dangerous. You know, so yeah, we have approached the city council, received approval for a magnetometer, which is a fancy name for a metal detector, and we will approach city council for a position within the police department, because it has to be, to work correctly, it has to be monitored by a sworn police officer. So yeah, we're moving forward down that path, and You know, we've tried to redirect access into the building so that all the entry and exit occurs through the south side, you know, what you might call the back door. There's nothing specific that's occurred, but it's just a general realization that we all need to be a little bit more cautious about how open we make our buildings.
I know we have to get going, but I did want to get one question in on the city budget. I know that's something that's still being processed. I see the Republic talked about an $80,000 overtime budget for the fire department, so that's something that has to be fit in too.
Yeah, the issue you get into is that when we get, we have a lot of turnover, you know, and that's really a citywide and really not just city, but employer-wide occurrence. And so when that happens, we end up with more overtime than we anticipated. This past year was a good example, you know, so we just want to be able to provide for the overtime that we know we're going to need.
Anything else? You have any announcements or any city council news that we should know about?
Well, this weekend will be Ethnic Expo. You know, it's the first time that we brought it back in its original format. And I'm hopeful that it is very reminiscent of what we had pre-pandemic, but I know that the number of vendors and some of the food offerings won't be quite the same. I mean, they just won't have the volume that we had before, but it's a step in the right direction. You know, part of what we want to do is make Columbus a fun, attractive place where you want to go downtown and you'll have a good time. And so this is a great step in that direction. Plus, you know, the host country, I mean, it's a little bit of a misnomer, but the host this year will be the African American community. And so it'll be a great opportunity for residents and visitors to sort of see what the African American community adds to our community, both in terms of culture and food, and then some of the retail offerings that they'll bring with them. So encourage everybody to come to Columbus this weekend and enjoy.
Should be nice weather too, yeah. I see. Now, is that still on the parking lot behind City Hall?
Yes, right, okay. In traditional location. Right, yeah, down on First Street.
Hey, appreciate your time. I guess we'll see you in November.
We'll be there.
Thank you.
Bye.